So, isn't it great to be here together? Gosh, there's lots of you. And praising the Lord. And Obosi family, thank you very much. Those songs just helped us connect with Jesus this morning. It was a real pleasure to sing them and just be with the Spirit in praise and worship. So we're talking about healthy relationship keys this morning. And I want to start by talking about us as a church family. Okay, so church family. We are called to walk together in love. We're called to submit to Jesus, no matter who we are, which position we have in the church, which gender we are. We are all here because we are under Jesus. And he comes first in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Walking together in love isn't always easy. We are different. We rub each other up the wrong way sometimes. We're not perfect. Even my husband, it might be a revelation to some of you, but after 28 years of marriage, I can tell you actually that neither of us is perfect, even though on our wedding day we might have thought we were. 28 years of marriage just opens our eyes, amen. But that doesn't mean that he's not God's plan for my life, amen. I'm just called to get nearer to Jesus so that I can find out how to love him better. Okay, so I'd like us to read, if you've got your Bibles with you, Philippians chapter 2, which it turns out I've got too much stuff. Can I put this in my pocket? Is it all right?
Okay.
Oh, first of all, I want to talk about covenant. If you find Philippians 2, I'll talk about covenant, okay? Covenant is a very important concept in the Bible. It's God's way of having relationship with his people. Covenant. Okay, in the Bible, a covenant is a binding agreement. I'm just going to get out of the way so you can see it. A binding agreement, like a formal contract between two or more parties, typically in the Bible, God and his people. But there are also covenants between people without God in the Bible. Okay, these agreements establish a relationship with mutual promises, stipulations and commitments, often sealed with a ceremony or a symbol. I just need to turn the light off a minute because I can't read that bit. Oh, that's not off.
First one.
Bottom. Okay. God has a covenant with his people that transcends our relationship status. Amen. It doesn't matter whether we're married, single, divorced, widowed. It's happily single, unhappily single, happily married, unhappily married. First of all, our first covenant is with God. And it's the most important one we will ever have. If you don't know Jesus this morning, if he's not Lord of your life, in charge, sitting on the throne, then we pray that you will come to know him as your Lord and Saviour one day, hopefully sooner rather than later. Because that covenant relationship with God is the most important thing you will ever have in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So it doesn't matter whether you're married or not, really. First of all, we need to be right with God. Yeah? Again? Okay, I don't know if I can read my Bible, though. But let's see. How well can Mr. Blackburn do it? I'm going to put this in my pocket and hopefully it doesn't move the PowerPoint. Okay. Well, I haven't found Philippians yet. There we go. Oh, I put a marker in. That's why. Okay. Okay. So, let's read Philippians 2 together. Can you see that? I'll just read. I'm reading from the New King James Version because I prefer it. That one's NIV. I like that one too. Here we go. Starting at verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross, which was considered the worst kind of humiliation. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word. So, our first responsibility is our covenant with God. We need to put Jesus in charge of our lives, first and foremost. And then that's how we relate to each other as Christians in a church body together. We love each other because God loves us, and we can treat each other well because we're treated well by God. Amen? Okay, so it doesn't matter whether you're single this morning, whether you are married, whether you're divorced, whether you are widowed, whether you are in a relationship but thinking about getting married, whether you are nowhere near that kind of thought, it doesn't really matter at the moment, because what I'm going to say this morning is relevant to every kind of relationship. So don't worry if you're in a position, let's call it marital status, that you're not happy with, because God is your provider. God is in charge of your life. Amen? Okay. So you might be, for example, happily single. Happily single is a great place to be in. Paul in the Gospels, in the New Testament, advocated being happily single. You might be unhappily single. You might be happily or unhappily divorced. Sadly, that happens in our lives sometimes. You might be a victim or a survivor of an abusive relationship. God's covenant encompasses your situation. God loves you. I'm going to move on to talking about the covenant of marriage particularly, but there are lots of analogies in the covenant of marriage with Jesus and the church, the Father and the church, which you can relate to your lives if you are not married currently. Okay? So I don't know what the next slide is, but let's try. A sound wave, fantastic. Okay, so I'm gonna use the analogy of a sound wave this morning, okay? So if you can imagine, they let me teach science at school. This is where the sound wave is quieter. And as it gets bigger, this is where the sound waves increase and it gets louder, okay? But it's just a picture, it's just an analogy, okay? Don't read too much into it this morning. But I'm gonna use it a little bit to help us understand what I'm talking about. Okay, so a covenant of marriage is, first of all, remembering that we are under the lordship of Christ. When we get married, first of all, our promise is to God. You know, in a wedding service, when first of all the minister says to the spouse, usually the male first, will you love Karen? Will you do this? Will you do that? And when the groom responds, I will, it's a picture of making that promise to God. So regardless of what the spouse does, the first promise is to God, I will love this person because you have given, I've chosen to, and you have given me that person. That's an awesome responsibility. We promise God that we will first of all love that person. And then we promise to each other that we will love each other. We are promising God that we will love his child. We are all God's children. Amen. And in the old version of the marriage service, it used to say, honour, protect, love, keep, forsaking all others. You know, it's one-on-one relationship with God in control as well. Okay. So on the day that you got married, if you're married, or any relationship really, on the day that you decide, right, let's be friends, and I'm talking about platonic relationships when I say that. Young people, that means no benefits, just ordinary friendships. Okay, God presses record on that day, okay, if you like. And the soundtrack starts. This is an analogy, remember, you can't read too much into it, but it's as if, you know, your marriage soundtrack has started and off we go, okay? God presses record and it's a multi-layer track, or it should be. It should be a multi-layer track. You've got bride, groom, and God, hopefully. That's going to give you the best start in marriage. If you're thinking about what God's saying to you in your marriage, that's really important. So we've pressed record and off you go. Your marriage has started. The wedding day is always lovely, isn't it? There might be a few bits and pieces that don't go so well, but everybody's happy. Nobody's in tears. Keep the bride happy, everybody. That's what they say, isn't it? Don't let the bride cry. And off we go on our marriage journey. John and I believe that that should only end when one of the spouses dies or Jesus returns. Okay? We're in it for the long haul, aren't we?
Yeah.
We do not consider divorce murder sometimes, but not divorce. In fact, if I had murdered him, I'd be out by now for good behaviour. But we love each other, don't we, sweetheart?
We do.
We do, okay. I'm just joking, really, honestly. You know me well enough to know that I'm joking. But there are times when you will be blessed as a married couple. You'll be experiencing all the hearts and flowers, everybody loves each other, and it's, ooh, that gooey feeling. And there are times when it's not. And we need to go into relationships, young people, knowing that it's not always going to be hearts and flowers and easy rides. Because marriage is not like that. Oh, did you hear the tone of my voice change? I used my teacher voice then. Yeah, there was a pause. You just have to be realistic. If you watch so many Hollywood films that you think marriage is always going to be, oh, you know, we've always got enough money and we've always got fabulous children and we're never going to have any problems, you're just plain wrong. Because life isn't like that. But Jesus is faithful and he will get you through them. You know, we've experienced lots of sadness in our marriage. Pregnancy losses and other hard things, other people's relationships failing, which have been really tragic and hard for us to deal with, but God is faithful. The important thing to remember is that if you think of a triangle and God being at the top of it, we are two people in the triangle getting closer to God all the time. And the bumps in the road that come along help us get closer to Jesus, because Jesus enters into our world. He's not distant. He's not a distant God, is he?
No.
He's right with us. And he comes close to us and helps us in our times of trouble. And he's always there when we're celebrating as well. Whether we rejoice or we are in lack, he's with us. Okay. Sadly, some couples take a soundbite from their marriage. Let's say, for example, they take a soundbite here, where they're not experiencing the blessings so much. It's not feeling all gooey and flowers and hearts and lovely, you know. And they think, oh, well, therefore, this isn't going very well. Let's press stop on the record. I'm talking about divorce. That's never God's intention. God doesn't press stop on our covenant with him, does he? He loves us no matter what we do. We cannot upset God enough for him to press stop. Doesn't matter what you're going to do in your life, he will always keep loving you. He is the eternal Father. He will never stop loving his children. How much time do you need?
You just keep going.
I'll just keep talking. Okay. Leroy, you okay? All right. Got to look after the lads. Thankfully, Mum had the baby. Okay. Okay, so I just encourage you, if you are married, and I'm not talking to anybody in particular, I don't know, But if you're going through a time where it's not all hearts and flowers at the moment, don't choose to press stop on the recording. You know, seek help, go to Jesus, get filled up with him first again. And if you need outside help, that we can signpost you. Asking yourself at this point, am I happily married, is the wrong question. Because there will be times when we're not happily married. Would you believe there are times that I'm not happily married to John? Not happily, but does that mean I'm going to divorce him? No, I would never in a million years do that. Because I know that he is God's plan for my life. Young people, don't go into a relationship. Don't make a covenant with somebody that you don't know for certain is God's plan for your life. Because when it gets hard, and I want to, you know, do things.
Bake a cake for him.
Exactly, Phil. I need to know that God's on, you know, God told me about this. God set this in motion. Because it does get hard sometimes. He is 85% perfect. I chose a number then.
Can I have that in writing?
No. So real life on the road, right? This morning I go into the bathroom. The shower hasn't been washed out properly. I'm like, would you mind, sweetheart, just washing out the shower properly? Because normally I go first on a weekday and I clean the shower out nicely. You can say stuff about me, it's all right. We're not perfect, you know. We have to take the rough with the smooth and decide that we are going to be in covenant together. Because we promised God. I promised God I would love him despite his faults. I didn't know all of them even then. I'm getting to know them every year a bit more. Also his blessings and his commitment and his loyalty and his amazing support and provision for our family. So there's good and bad, right? Marriage is a journey that you have covenanted to take together. If your soundtrack is out of balance, if somebody's having all of the happy times and the other person is having none of them, you're out of balance. That should not be happening in your marriage. We should be walking together, supporting each other, and both experiencing the blessings of God, not at the expense of the other. Amen? So if your soundtrack, this is the analogy part, if your soundtrack is out of balance, who do you go and see? You go and see the sound engineer, okay? You can't talk to the, you might not be able to talk to the other person. You might be able to. But in a soundtrack analogy, recorder's being pressed, the sound engineer is in control. Okay? Go and speak to the sound engineer. Who is Jesus? Okay? First of all, go to the Lord. When you've gone to the Lord and the Lord has told you about the other person, how he sees them, then you have a right mind. Yeah? And not just in marriage, you know, if you've got a friend that you're out of balance with, they're not giving as much as you are to the friendship relationship, or they're relying on you too much and you feel like it's take, take, take and not give, 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 receive, then see Jesus about who they are. Are you supposed to keep walking with that friend? Are you, or family member, are you supposed to put some distance between you and just re-establish some boundaries? If you're experiencing an area of lack in your marriage, it's not hearts and flowers all the time. Of course, I've just said that a million times. But if there's a consistent lack on one side in your marriage, then speak to the sound engineer first. Okay, so I'm going to move on to talk about a little bit more about specifically submission in marriage. I think I have a clicker thing. Other pocket, maybe?
Yes.
Oh, I found it. I put it here. Thank you. Okay, so there's the soundtrack. Okay. So here, don't look here because it's one from school. You can't see it anyway, but that one says chicken. I just wanted to tell you. But let's say the chicken is God. Okay, so record is pressed here. These can be moved together so that they're happening together, but that's one soundtrack and this is another. Notice they're in stereo. Okay. So let's say, for example, husband, wife, that should be together. One person should not be silent when the other is talking in a relationship sense. Both parties have a voice. Amen?
Amen.
Everybody's opinion is valuable in a marriage, especially God. Okay, maybe he should be at the top, but I couldn't find a graphic for that. Okay. John's probably sitting there thinking, she's never going to stop talking. I'm not going to have to do anything this week.
There's always next week.
There's always next week. I'm not here in 2 weeks' time, so you could do it then. Okay, what is submission? Okay. Wives are called to submit to their own husbands. Thankfully, we're not called to submit to everybody's husband, because that would be a nightmare. Wives are called to submit to their own husbands. But what is submission? What is submission? Submission is yielding to the will or authority of another. When you yield, you give up willingly. It's your choice. Okay? You are not subjected. You are not, what's that other word?
Coerced.
It's your choice, wives, that you submit to your husband. Submission is a gift that it is only in the giver's power to give. It cannot be forced. It cannot be required. It's a gift. Wives have a huge responsibility to support their husbands. It's given in Genesis chapter 2. God made Eve as a help suitable for their husbands. The word used in Genesis to describe Eve as a help suitable for Adam does not mean that Eve is in any way inferior to her husband Adam. In fact, the words that are used by God to describe the help suitable are the same words in the Bible that are used to describe God's support of Israel, his people. Now, I don't think any of us would ever suggest that God is inferior to his people Israel.
No.
Would we?
No.
We just wouldn't even dare. Bob Yandian, who is a pastor in America, Tulsa, I believe, in America, wrote a book that we read when we were first married. His book is called One Flesh. And he describes that when God took a bone from Adam to make Eve, he didn't take a bone from the head because he didn't intend that Eve would rule over her husband. He didn't take a bone from the foot because he didn't intend that Eve would be
underneath
or overpowered or dominated by her husband. He took a rib, indicating that they would stand side by side as equals. This is before the fall, of course. Side by side as equals and mutually dependent. They needed each other. How did they need each other? Neither could reproduce without the other. They needed each other. One is not more important than the other. One is not more gifted in total than the other. They are mutually dependent. Adam, in the creation story, recognized his aloneness, and God supplied Eve as an integral partner. Submission to her husband is a wife's gift to give. It's a position of safety in that once it is given, it becomes the husband's responsibility to be accountable to God for the welfare of his wife.
Ooh.
Giving himself up for her as Christ loved the church. Submission can only ever be a gift. It can't be demanded in a relationship, because if it's demanded, it's no longer submission. Wives, it's your choice. So how it works in our marriage is this. John and I bumble along. I'm good at some stuff. He's good at some stuff. We've worked it out over the last 28 years, what we're good at and what we're not good at. So he lets me do stuff and I let him do stuff. We are equals, okay? Now, I am a bear of little brain. So there is quite a lot of stuff that he's just cleverer at than me. And I'm happy to acknowledge that. Because I like to be a bear of little brain. God made me this way. Okay, you know that's Winnie the Pooh, yeah? Bear of little brain. But there's some stuff that I'm really good at. John's highly intelligent. He can tell there's something coming. He's like licking his lips and holding his arms like that. He doesn't have a lot of common sense. Gentlemen, he doesn't have a lot of common sense. So sometimes I'll say, what are you doing that like that for? Can't understand why he's doing that like that. And sometimes he'll say to me, well, no, that's just not right, Karen. You haven't thought this through. What's your evidence for that? Have you read about it? I'm like, well, no, I just watched some stuff on the internet and I thought it was right. And he challenges me in the right way about, you know, getting my ducks in order about stuff that I think, which is great. We spent, 20 years with me at home, roughly, looking after the children and, you know, the house and doing that job. And then I felt God was saying to me that I should become a teacher. And I had some kind of idea about how that would go in terms of my work-life balance. But nobody, no teacher will ever say, well, if they're being honest, will say, I recognised when I started what effect it would have. Because it takes a lot of your life being a teacher. John overnight went from having a wife that was at home and doing all the chores at home and, you know, most of the DIY and decorating, to having a wife that had disappeared, metaphorically. But because for 20 years I'd stayed at home and done the jobs at home that needed doing, he stepped up. Because cleaning and cooking and leave the decorating to me, are not beneath him. As a man, he's masculine enough to say, I can do those things. I can wash up. I can unload the dishwasher. I can load it again. I can cook some stuff out the freezer. Occasionally fresh. It doesn't belittle him because he knows who he is in Christ. Amen? We share the responsibilities as far as we can. And if I'm good at something, I do it. If he's good at something or he's got the time available, he does it. It works. For us, I think it's been a really good marriage so far. I think we can celebrate and say that Jesus is in charge most of the time. And we follow him. And in following him, we get closer to each other. Up the triangle. Yeah? You'll be pleased. But I think I've finished. Okay. You have 3 minutes. No, please don't clap. Glory to God. I'm sorry? Yeah. Oh, can I just say something? This is not part of the message, really. But I think it's ironic and kind of funny that, let's say 15 years ago, I hated public speaking. I did not enjoy getting up in front of you guys and saying anything. And then God calls me to be a teacher. And so now I do public speaking 5 days of the week for about 6 hours every day. And so was I worried about coming to preach this morning? It's the first time I've done it in 8 years. I wasn't worried so much as I've just had to imagine that you're all 8-year-olds.
Which is not hard to do, no.
I did not say that.
We were all adults, weren't we? Which everyone apart from
Bless you. Yeah. What have I done? Oh, I've walked away with it. Sorry.
This is where we hear what you really think. Right. So good. So who enjoyed listening to Karen there? So not too damaging to me, thank God. So we'll carry on this next week because we're going to look at Genesis, we're going to look at Ephesians, we're going to look at what Jesus taught about how how men should lead. We don't lord it over. Remember, Jesus says to the disciples, "You don't lord it over people like the Gentiles do. You serve as Jesus did." So we'll look at that next week. Has anyone got any questions at all based on what Karen shared? Because I can factor that in to next Sunday's message as well.
Coming for Q&A.
Well, I don't know. Stuart.
You didn't do too bad, John.
Thank you. That's not a question, but thank you very much, Stuart. Yeah. That's good. So, yeah, so no obvious questions.
No, all right.
So, okay, so everyone, everyone agrees with what you said, Karen, I think, about me being 85% perfect. So, well, our spirits are perfect. It's the soul, isn't it? Some of the ideas we have, some of the emotions we experience and either succeed or fail to harness, and some of the decisions we make, that's where we all fall short at different times. And that's why we need the love of God, amen? And that's why, you know, Jesus is our example. So next week, we'll go a bit more. We'll look at the New Testament. We'll look at husband and wife's relationships in more detail. We'll look at Jesus' example, his relationship to the church. We'll look at feminism. We'll look at some other things. If you're not married yet, I may talk a little bit about, you know, things to look for in a marriage partner and how to find the right one. You know, there's lots of stuff in the Bible for that. But, marriage isn't for everyone. And as Karen said at the beginning, you can live a very happy single life. In fact, if you ever do get married, you need to learn the secret of being content and fulfilled while you're single, because that's essential for having a happy married life. It took me a while to learn that. I know in my 20s I was not content being single, and God had to take me to another country and to a situation where he was able to do some work on the inside of me, where I became thoroughly happy being single. And I think I had another 4 years being single after that before God spoke to me about marrying Karen. So when I got married to Karen, I was very content. I'd learned how to clean toilets. I'd learned how to cook meals because I lived on my own in a flat for a while. And all these are very valuable skills. And I heard someone say, you know, marriage, well, the way they said it was, he said, marriage is not for me. And this was a guy who was married. But what he actually meant was, marriage is not for me. Marriage is for the benefit of the other person. So, you know, when I was single, when I met Karen, I felt God said, you need to get married. My mentality was, I'm getting married for Karen's benefit, not for my benefit, because I want to be a blessing to Karen. And if the other person's a Christian, if they have the same attitude, then it all works. Because that is the way Jesus and the church relate, isn't it? You know, Jesus came for our benefit. He died on the cross for our benefit. And when we realized how much he loved us, we decided we want to give ourselves to him for his benefit. Amen. That's what being a Christian means. And that's a picture of marriage, Jesus and the church. That the husband wants to marry someone because he wants to be a blessing to them, not because of what she can give me. And we'll talk next week about spirit, soul and body. That, you know, as a Christian, you should only marry another Christian. Why? Because a connection, a lifelong relationship connection, starts with a spiritual connection. So, you know, Karen and I were friends in this church we met in Sweden in 1993, and we got married in 1997. So we've become friends, and we've been worshipping God together, we've been studying the Bible together, we've been praying together, and then we developed in the soul area friendship. So, you know, we started going out and doing things in a group, and then when I felt God had spoke to me about Karen was to be my wife in the future, then we started dating. And then the physical union happens after the wedding. And that's the best. Obviously, this day and age, that wisdom has largely disappeared from our society. But I'll maybe talk about that next week, about why God's designed it that way and why that's the best, you know, to wait till you get married before you have a physical relationship. God thought about that, and he's got a good reason. And it's a blessing to do it that way.